Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I'd like to do to begin these fair shows, I'd like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. And given the fact that we just said adios to Labor Day, which astrologically or chronologically, is the end of summer because it goes into September, but certainly philosophically, I think it is, from Memorial Day to Labor Day. I thought I'd read a little essay written by the very talented Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune entitled Summer Fades, But Its Last Days Can Be a Class Act. Mary writes, September came on noisier than a buzzsaw last week. Before it was even dawn, you could hear a new season revving up, the laziness of Labor Day and August gone faster than you could say, back to school. If you were out and about last week, and from the hum of things, it seemed everybody was out and about, you saw and heard the change. A post-summer slant of light arrived right on cue, and the world picked up its pace, as if some director, calendar in one hand, bullhorn in the other, had cried, "Action!" Cars and school buses clogged the streets, horns honked, school bells rang, and the cicadas amped up like a rock band straining for its deafening finale. City sidewalks were a moving blur of pressed clothes, fresh perfume, wet hair and faces set with renewed resolve to get life back in working order. Shortly after 7 a.m., I strolled past a high school near my house, a place that, through the summer, had sat mostly fallow. Now, teenagers thronged the walks and parking lot, shouting and laughing, while teachers clutching clipboards bustled by calling, "How was your summer? Glad to be back?" Well, how was your summer? How was your summer? The question echoes everywhere in September, and it's not just students who are called to answer, and not just students who are coming back. Summer is the only season that requires us to submit a report card. Few people ask, "Well, how was your winter?" or "How was your fall?" or "How was your spring?" In Chicago, at least, we all know that winter was cold and a little too long. Spring and fall were fine and a little too short. We're not expected to spend those other seasons in a notable way or have a good story to tell about them at the end. Only summer requires us to grade it, as if the quality of our June, July, and August will determine the quality of the ordinary, unsummery lives to which we inevitably return. More than the other seasons, summer feels like an exotic place. Even if you don't go much anywhere, your mind travels out to where routine obligations don't seem so urgent, to a place where it matters more what you're doing with your summer than what you're doing with your future. In summer, you can set your engine on idle, telling yourself you don't have to work real hard because no one else is working real hard either. That doesn't include me or anyone I know, of course. No. Then September comes again, like reveille after the summer snooze, and with a certain relief, we come back to school, to work, to duty. Enough of all that summer shirking. Time again for productivity, progress, schedules, and ambitions. Just as in summer we indulged our inner sloth, September we get reacquainted with our inner ant, the part of us that needs to get busy again and build. But the back-to-school season poses a problem for those of us who are out of school. We're ready in September to start over, but we no longer have school to guide our sense of rekindled purpose and possibility. walking past that high school Tuesday morning, weaving through the giddy students, I recalled how convenient it was to have school to package your vague ambitions. Remember the sensation of anticipation when you were still actually in school? In the first few days of any school year, it was easy to feel that your life was about to launch in some astonishing new direction. Although all those new classes, new teachers, new clothes were bound to take you to new worlds. As adults, though, we don't get new binders, new backpacks, new classes, new counselors. Returning to our old routines, we're left on our own to format our September energy. So, we go back to the gym, to yoga. We enroll in extension courses. We abandon those trashy beach reads and buy the new biography of Ben Franklin. Okay, I didn't buy that book, but I have a friend who did just that, inspired by September's back-to-school work ethic. I admire her enterprise, but a little voice still whispers, "Lighten up, back-to-schoolers. There's still a little left of summer." Yes, there is. And we've had some warm days to prove that. And it's going to cool off a little bit. Maybe get a little less humid, which wouldn't be too bad. And maybe even get some rain. Terrible summer, as far as that goes, huh? At least around here. Well, a great fall starting out, of course, with our friends at Swirls. Pam Rose, our good friend, she has a new cupcake. Swirls Cupcakes kicks off a happy bear season at Swirls with an Izzy Bear Cupcake. From September 5th through October 6th, Swirls will be selling the Izzy Bear Banana Chocolate Chip Gummy Bear Cupcake, with all proceeds benefiting the Israel Adonijay Foundation, committed to connecting children and families in underserved communities. And for information about Israel's foundation, please log on to his website, which is www.israeladonijay.org. Israel will also be coming into Swirls to mix up a batch of his custom cupcakes. We're thrilled to welcome him into our shop. Stay tuned for pictures from his visit, and be sure to stop in to try a delicious Izzy Bear cupcake while they're here. Go Bears! Isn't that the truth? Of course, if you want information, you can always stop by the Swirl Shop, a beautiful little shop by Children's Memorial Hospital, 705 West Belden in the Lincoln Park area. For information, 773-404-2253. Or go onto their website, which is Swirls, S-W-I-R-L-Z, cupcakes.com. And ask for our good pal, Pam Rose, and mention our name, and it's a great place. Great cupcakes. Call ahead, and they have these little cupcakes, which are so much better than the larger ones, because larger ones are too fattening. Little ones, you can eat three or four at a time. But certainly a great place, and Pam does such a terrific job. Again, the Izzy Bear Banana Chocolate Chip Gummy Bear Cupcake from September 5th through October 6th to benefit the Israel Adonijay Foundation. Again, for information, it's Swirls, 773-404-2253. What a great lady. Always happy to chat a little bit about Swirls and the great things that Pam does. She is really terrific. She always helps out various foundations, people, schools, hospitals, always right there helping out any way she can. So please take advantage of that and stop by for any kind of cupcakes up there. And, of course, the 2012 Lakeview East Chamber of Commerce is proud to host and produce the 2012 Lakeview East Festival of the Arts. The festival, now in its eighth year, takes place Saturday, September 8th and Sunday, September 9th in Lakeview, a dynamic and diversified neighborhood community rich in culture, history, and the arts, from Belmont Avenue to Roscoe Street. The 2012 Lakeview East Festival of the Arts showcases more than 150 juried artists featuring world-class original paintings, sculpture, photography, furniture, jewelry, and more. In addition to the artists' booths, the festival features live music with beer and wine gardens, an area curated by Project Onward, an interactive urban picnic oasis by Patch Landscaping, and interactive children's area featuring a puppet show and much more. The Lakeview East Festival of the Arts asks for a donation upon entrance, and those donate can be entered to win round-trip tickets to any scheduled destination serviced by Southwest Airlines, and they fly everywhere. The hours are Saturday, September 8th from 10 to 6, and Sunday, September 9th from 10 to 5. For information, lakeviewfestivaloftheArts.com. New to the festival this year is an exhibit curated by Chicago's Project Onward, a studio and gallery dedicated to the creative growth of artists with mental and developmental disabilities. In addition to displaying and selling original works of art, Project Onward's major focus for the weekend will be to provide portrait sittings with Project Onward artists to festival attendees. That's interesting. To learn more about Project Onward, visit projectonward.org/portrait. The Lakeview East Chamber of Commerce also welcomes Patch Landscaping in 2012. Patch Landscaping will be creating an interactive garden area from Roscoe to Hawthorne Streets. The Urban Oasis will feature an oversized chess game, cool, allowing festival attendees to play a chess game that will be on display to all in the garden area. Also featured in the colorful picnic-themed area will be rolling hills, a boulder wall where people can sit and relax next to sandboxes filled with children's toys and birch trees as high as 12 feet high. Artists in almost every medium are represented, including photography, printmaking, mixed media, ceramics, clay, collage, fiber, glass, sculpture, furniture, and more. Unique and original artwork is for sale in all price ranges. And again, for festival information, lakevieweast.com or call 773-348-8608. But it's fun. That's great. Neighborhood Festival, Festival of the Arts. And interesting because the Project Onward, of course, a studio and gallery dedicated to the creative growth of artists with mental and developmental disabilities, kind of plays into what we're going to be talking to today with our very good friend, Sister Rosemary Conley, the Executive Director of Misericordia Heart of Mercy. Always a pleasure to chat with her. And this weekend, of course, coming up, the great 32nd Annual Misericordia Family Fest, which is tomorrow, Sunday, September 9th, from 11 to 6 at Misericordia Campus, 6300 North Ridge. I'm going to give you a phone number, and I will a couple times throughout the show today. 773-273-2766. Sister Rosemary, what a delight, what a beloved lady, and it's always an honor and a pleasure to have her on the show to chat a little bit about Misericordia, what's going on, all the new things that that are going on at Misericordia, Lois Gates, of course, and Jenny Frain, of course, who do such a terrific job helping out and keeping us informed of what's going on. It'll be fun to chat with Sister. Well, we're going to go to our CD, Astrid for Lovers, Astrid Gilberto, and a great song written by Burton Lane. Look to the Rainbow, and we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
On the day I was born, said my father, said he, of an elegant legacy waiting for thee. 'Tis a rhyme for your lips and a song for your heart to sing it whenever the world. The rainbow following over the hills and the stream. Look, look, look to the rainbow. Follow the fellow who follows a dream. The rain.
Astrid Gilberto, Look to the Rainbow. We're back on the Kevin Moore Show. The mission of Misericordia Heart of Mercy is to support individuals with developmental disabilities in maximizing their level of independence and self-determination within an environment that fosters spirituality, dignity, respect, and enhancement of quality of life. We promote development of natural family and community support, community awareness, education, and advocacy. Don't miss the 32nd annual Misericordia Family Fest, Fun for All Ages. This Sunday, September 9th, all proceeds support Misericordia's programs for children and adults with developmental disabilities. The 32nd annual Misericordia Family Fest, a day that offers food and drink, live entertainment, children's games, shopping, and more for the whole family. That's Sunday, September 9th from 11 to 6 at Misericordia's campus, 6300 North Ridge, just south of Devon. Misericordia offers exceptional programs for more than 600 children and adults with mild to profound developmental disabilities from diverse racial, religious, and socioeconomic backgrounds. This year, Misericordia must raise $13 million for costs not covered by the state of Illinois. Additionally, Misericordia has moved forward with construction projects in order to welcome some of the 500 individuals on its waiting list. And on the line with us right now is the executive director of Misericordia Heart of Mercy, one of Chicago's most beloved people and certainly one of our family's dearest friends. Looking forward to the 32nd annual Misericordia Family Fest this Sunday, September 9th, from 11 to 6 at Misericordia Campus, 6300 North Ridge. Our good friend, Sister Rosemary Connelly. Sister Rosemary, good to have you back on the show again.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I was just thinking how many years we have done this now.
Well, many years, and I got to tell you, it's an honor and a pleasure to have you, and I always enjoy chatting with you.
Well, thank you, Kevin. You've been a beautiful friend, as has your whole family, and that's what makes Misericordia. We have so many people who really believe that our children and adults deserve the best. And I have our mayor here, Mr. Morrissey, and I thought maybe he could say a few words about the fest.
Well, the mayor, how are you? Are you looking forward to the family fest coming up this Sunday?
Yes, I am.
Well, it's going to be a great day. The weather's going to be beautiful. We have games, we have food, and we have drink, and we have entertainment, and you're going to be running the whole show, right?
Oh, I guess I probably will.
Well, we have a lot of people that are going to be there. Of course, our good friend Lou Manfreditti, and certainly Lynn Bramer will be there, Bobby Ryan, our master of ceremonies, Jesse White Tumblers. Well, it's always a great day, isn't it, Sister Rosemary?
You know, Kevin, it's a wonderful family day. You know, there's games for children, and the families really enjoy it. It's for some children, they start talking about it the day after when it's the next fest. So we hope that families do come out, because it's truly a day of celebrating just life and love and family, and people enjoy it very, very much. And we feel so blessed, because it certainly does help us financially, too. You know, it's getting harder and harder depending on too much on the government, so we work very hard at fundraising, and this is one of our biggest fundraisers.
Well, it's always fun because a lot of people
approach it with great hope and with great anticipation.
Well, it's always fun because so many people come out. We have candy days and so many things throughout the year. But for our listeners, tell us what Misericordia is all about, Sister Rosemary.
Well, I think Misericordia is about family. It's about community. It's about recognizing how important children and adults. We have 600 now that live with us, Kevin, and they live good lives, and they live lives of dignity and respect and challenge and fun and joy. They have their friends. They have their dances. They have their good times. But we also give peace of mind to families. You know, in this affluent society, as soon as a child is born with disabilities, the parents start worrying who's going to be there when they can't be the primary caregiver. And that's the gift we give to so many families, and 20% of our population are those that have no families or are from poverty families, and that's an important part of our mission, too. And then the third thing we really do well, you should be here today, Kevin, out on the campus, are men and women who have taken the whole week off before the fest to set up and you know, we have tents up now, and people are making signs, and people are cutting onions and apples and things in the kitchen. Yeah, we really have such wonderful volunteers. We couldn't do it without our volunteers, and they're happy to be here, and they're shared ministers of our ministry. So it's just a good thing.
And it's great to have a beloved leader like yourself. Everybody wants to pitch in.
Well, you know, Kevin, I don't know why they come, but they come, and they like what they feel. They know they're doing God's work. And it's really beautiful.
And this is a perfect time to mention, with all the kids going back to school and especially all the young people going back to college, it's always great to come by Misericordia, but because you can send those gift baskets with cookies and all the goodies that will be sent directly to those kids that are in school, and that's a good way to kind of use what Misericordia has to offer.
Well, you know, that's a great job opportunity. They can help with the baking. They package them. It's wonderful. Now we have coffee making, too. So we're always looking for jobs and employment for our residents, too, the ones that are capable of it. So that's a great idea. Thank you for mentioning it, Kevin, because sending a package to a homesick child who's no longer a child but still has that in their hearts, it's a nice gift for parents to do.
And if people want to come over and have breakfast or lunch or brunch coming by Misericordia any Sunday, not only this Sunday coming up, but certainly any Sunday, it's great.
We'll be out on the field.
That's right.
So they don't come. We have the greenhouse in every Sunday. We have brunch and breakfast.
Right.
And it's a wonderful opportunity to come with your family and enjoy a beautiful setting. But this Sunday we'll all be out on the fields where there will be 20 different food booths, and there's, you know, as you said, entertainment, games. It's just a fun day to be.
Every year it gets bigger and better, Sister Rosemary, and we can only hope that it continues, and certainly more people will be out this year. The weather is always perfect. We can't always say that about candy days.
We can't do that, Kevin. And the Lord is with us, so He has blessed us a hundredfold.
Well, I noticed that Lovie Smith, the coach of the Bears, has taken a great interest in Misericordia.
He and his darling wife, Mary Ann, have become very interested in us and are willing to be there for us and to help us. And I told him, I told him that Mike Ditka
right.
Won the Super Bowl once he got involved with us.
There you go.
And you know, Mike, so I'm tempting Lovey about that. But Mike is still involved with us, and he believes in our children and adults, and they bring out the best in him and in anyone that's willing to get involved with us. So we're blessed, Kevin. We really are, and we know we're doing God's work, and the Lord is walking this journey with us. We can see it through the beautiful people we can call friends.
Now, my brother-in-law, John Scully, tells me that at the annual benefit that we're going to be honoring the bums. Is that true for the many years?
We are. Yeah, you go. And John and Patrick both right. are very much part of that. You know, for 30 years now, we've had the Bums Golf Outing. And it's interesting because it was really started by your father-in-law
along with
a group of wonderful men.
Right.
And many of them have gone to God. But what's really nice is their sons and their nephews have continued the commitment that they had. So it's beautiful. So at the November Women's Board Dinner Party, which is a beautiful ball, we're going to honor the bums.
Well, we'll be talking about that on the show and getting the word out, I can assure you.
That will be great, Kevin. You've been such a good friend, and we appreciate it so much.
Well, we love you dearly, and anything we can do, you know we always will. At Misericordia, we look upon each one of our children and adults with mental disabilities as a person with individual needs, feelings, aspirations, limitations, and gifts. Each resident of Misericordia is a unique, loving, and loved person made by God with a purpose in life. No matter how wrapped in mystery that purpose seems to us, we are committed to making each day the best day for them as well as their family and friends. Don't miss the 32nd Annual Misericordia Family Fest this Sunday, September 9th. At the Misericordia campus, 6300 Northridge, just south of Devon, from 11 to 6. Food and drink and live entertainment, children's games, shopping, and much more. A great family day. Please come out because it's for a great cause. And certainly with us right now is one of the great ladies in Chicago, Sister Rosemary Connolly. Sister, I'm going to give a phone number for people if they'd like information, 773-273-2766, or certainly can go on the website, misericordia.org. God bless you, Sister, for everything you do. We'll look forward to seeing you Sunday, and anything we can do, you know, we're always here for you.
I know, Kevin, and God bless you and yours. You're a real friend.
Thank you, my dear.
Bye now.
Bye, Sister Rosemary. Sister Rosemary Connolly, the Executive Director of Misericordia Heart of Mercy, the 32nd Annual Misericordia Family Fest this Sunday, September 9th from 11 to 6 at Misericordia Campus, 6300 North Ridge, just south of Devon. For information, 773-273-2766. A great day, a great group of people, and always a pleasure and honor to have Sister Rosemary on the show. I thank Lois Gates and Jenny Frain for always putting that together. It's just fun to chat with her, and it'll be a fun day for Family Fest. Well, we're going to get back to Astrid Gilberto, Corcovado, Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars. We'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Quiet nights of quiet stars, quiet chords from my guitar, floating on the silence that surrounds us. Quiet thoughts and quiet dreams, quiet walks by quiet streams, and a window that looks out on Corcovado. Oh, how lovely. Um cantinho, um violão, esse amor, uma canção, pra fazer feliz a quem se ama. Muita calma pra pensar e ter tempo pra sonhar. Da janela ver seu Corcovado, o Redentor, que lindo. Quero a vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste e descrente desse mundo, ao encontrar você eu conheci o que é felicidade, meu amor. Sempre assim, com você perto de mim, até o apagar da velha chama. E eu que era triste
triste, descrente desse mundo. Ao encontrar você, eu conheci. O que é felicidade, meu amor?
Esther Gilberto, Corcovado, we're back on the Kevin Moore Show. Chicago Dramatists announced its fall 2012 Saturday series lineup, weekly stage readings and discussions of plays in progress to feature news plays, discussion panels, and workshops for more than 20 award-winning playwrights. For more than 30 years, Chicago Dramatists Saturday series has presented Chicago theater lovers and industry professionals with an inside view of plays in progress and an opportunity to contribute to their development with post-show feedback sessions. Many of these plays are works in progress by resident and network playwrights. Others grow out of various workshops, some of which are open to the general public. And on the line with us right now is the recipient of the League of Chicago Theater's Artistic Leadership Award, the Actors Equity Spirit Award, and the Illinois Theater Association Achievement Award, a man who has nurtured, directed, and counseled innumerable award-winning playwrights, director, teacher, mentor, one of the leading voices in Chicago theater, and the artistic director of Chicago Dramatists, now presenting Chicago Dramatists 2012 Saturday Series program, Mr. Russ Tutterow. Russ, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hi, Kevin. Thanks for calling me.
It's great to have you, and certainly congratulations on another year of the 2012 Saturday Series, and it's got to be an exciting time for you.
Well, every year's exciting, but every year gets better than the last one. Right now, we are our theater, which is 33 years old this year, is up for multiple Jeff Awards. We've been nominated in like seven categories. But the wonderful thing is all three of the plays that we produced last year have been nominated for Best New Work.
Which are?
Well, they're all gone now. That's this last year. But they were A Kid Thing, Blizzard 67, and I'm Going to Change the World. Those are the three plays. But we have seven nominations. But you're calling about the Saturday series.
Well, I'm calling about everything. So congratulations certainly are in order. But you have those congratulations coming every year because you're always nominated for those things. And, you know, doing this for 30 years, what metamorphoses have you seen? What sequentially have you seen? Or have you seen a change in what has been presented, you know, 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago and what we're seeing today?
Well, the last 30, 35 years, Chicago has changed. The theater community in Chicago has changed. When Chicago Dramatists was founded in 1979, local playwright couldn't get a production anywhere. The theaters in town weren't doing new work. So that's why we were formed, really, by a handful of playwrights who wanted to help each other, wanted to work on their plays, and wanted to get produced. But all through the last 33 years, it's all changed. Especially through the 90s. And we're very proud of the role that Chicago Dramatists has played in helping to make that change happen. Right now, today, Chicago is perhaps the number one theater town for new work. New York comes here and looks for plays. And Chicago Dramatists, we call ourselves the Playwrights Theater. This is a place where playwrights come. It's in Chicago. It is the Playwrights Theater now. And we work with 40 resident playwrights a year and about 160 additional associated playwrights every year. And our whole mission is to develop new work, but more importantly, to nurture playwrights who will then move on and develop new work. And it's work that gets produced at theaters all around Chicago and across the nation, and to more and more across the world.
Well, I'm going to mention a couple here, if you don't mind. Rebecca Gilman, Tina Fey, Sarah Ruhl, Keith Huff, of course, who had great success with The Steady Rain, which went on to Broadway with Daniel Craig and Hugh Jackman, Tanya Sirico, Brett Nouveau, Rick Cleveland, David Barr. You know, you're like Lee Strasberg of Chicago Theater, with all the people that you have nurtured, as I said in the introduction, and helped along. And, you know, you mentioned about Chicago Theater, but I think you'll agree that, Russ, we have the opportunity of having so many more theaters than we had 20 years ago, so those people can have the opportunity to showcase their crafts.
Well, true. And also, now every theater in Chicago does new work. Almost every theater. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true 30 years ago.
Right.
And we've helped to change that. But we are where theater begins, really. I mean, the most fundamental artist in the theater is the playwright.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who we work with. That's who we try to support. We've helped them, but they help each other. They help us. It's a very ensemble feel in some ways here. Playwrights go off and write their own plays, and sort of an individual can be an individual, lonely kind of profession. But they need actors, they need audiences, they need directors and designers to develop that work and then to see it full-blown. Theater's it's a performance art, so you can't just write a play at home. You need a place like this. You need actors. And our signature series is the Saturday series,
mm-hmm.
and it's almost every Saturday at 2 o'clock. The only times we take off are for holidays, you know, Christmas and
sure.
whatnot. Every Saturday at 2 o'clock, it's almost always a stage reading of a full-length play by one of the playwrights we're working with, followed by a carefully moderated audience discussion with the playwright so the playwright can hear reactions to the work. And every Saturday is different. Some of the plays in the Saturday series might be very polished and finished. Some of them may be first drafts. It's all ready for an audience to look at, hopefully. But we also do private readings for earlier draft scripts. But every Saturday at 2 o'clock, ask for a $5 donation at the door. And it's a wonderful opportunity, an exciting thing to see a playwright struggling to make something work, and then to participate in that through a discussion afterwards.
And I would imagine some of those discussions get very energetic because people care enough to come out, want to see a new work, and want to participate in maybe the whole process.
Yeah, and it's the audience talking to the playwright,
mm-hmm.
the audience reacting to the work. We don't exactly critique a play in a public discussion. It's more a discussion about the play, and hopefully the playwright will hear what works, what doesn't work, and what interests the audience most. But they're rather carefully moderated discussions, so it's a tool for the playwright to learn.
You've been doing this for many years. Do you still have that same fire in the belly, as they say, to continue?
Sure.
Simple as that.
Yeah. Every day. Every day is different. It's a wonderful job. You know, every day I come to work, and it's different than the day before. Every play is different. Every playwright is different. I love building things. I love making things happen. And that's what we do here.
And that's what I think that theater does. It stimulates and engages a person or an audience's creativity, or stimulates or engages an audience's imagination, or stimulates and engages an audience's intellect. And when that's done, you're right, every day is different. I have the opportunity of serving on the board of the Roosevelt University of Chicago College of the Performing Arts. You have some very talented young people that are part of that school, as are DePaul and Columbia and Northwestern and all the schools. And here in Chicago, we have the opportunity for them to showcase those talents at all the different venues that we have. They're very lucky to do that, to be able to do that.
It's a great town. It's a great town for theater.
And, of course, your first play for the new season is Freshly Fallen Snow by M.E.H. Lewis. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, and M.E.H., that would be Margaret Lewis. She's been a resident playwright with us for many years. This is her latest play. She's had productions all around the city and all around the country. But this is a play she's been working on for a couple of years. And Megan Beals McCarthy, our associate artistic director, is directing the play. Has lots of projections and whatnot. It's a very, very striking play. It's really about a medical doctor who has a new procedure for erasing memories. And it's, the whole point is to erase bad memories, or memories that cause neurosis and psychosis and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually for real. This really exists out there. And Margaret took that and was inspired to write a play about an Iraq war veteran who has some post-traumatic syndrome. And do you get rid of those memories, or do you need them? and also contrasted with a woman who survived the Dresden firestorm in World War II. It's a very rich, complex, and it's very thoughtful and challenging. It's very exciting.
Well, of course, that opens later part of this month, correct?
Yeah, it starts previews on the 20th of this month, 2 weeks from today. And then it opens the 28th, 29th, and plays through October.
Well, always something interesting and enjoyable going on at Chicago Dramatists. It's nice to chat with you a little bit, and certainly let's keep on each other's radar because we need to get the word out about the wonderful things that you continue to do after 30-plus years.
Well, there's a lot. There's lots of work to do. And anybody who wants to know anything about Chicago Drama should look at our website. You know, just Google us, look at the website. It's got a ton of information on it. We have a lot of different programming. We're different from other Chicago theaters because we don't just do shows. We do all kinds of programming. We're trying to build the future, really. Plays and playwrights are the future.
Since 1979, Chicago Dramatists has been dedicated to a single mission, the development and advancement of playwrights and new plays that contribute to the American theater repertory and enrich the lives of audiences across the country. Simply put, Chicago Dramatists is a safe and creative place where playwrights, theater artists, audiences, producers, and donors can join forces to build the theater of the future. And on the line with us right now is the artistic director of Chicago Dramatists, Mr. Russ Totoro. Russ, do you have a phone number or website people could get some information again on?
Well, I think the website's the best choice.
Okay.
But we're in the phone book. It's www.chicagodramatists.org.
Well, we will continue to get the word out, certainly through our friends over at Carol Fox. And if there's something that needs to be said, please don't hesitate. We're on each other's radar. Let's continue to do so.
Great. Thanks so much for your interest.
And thank you, Russ.
All right.
Russ Totoro, the artistic director of Chicago Dramatists, and their 2012 Saturday Series program. For information, 312-633-0630, or go onto their website, Chicago Dramatists. A great group of people, certainly, as Russ said, Chicago Dramatists is the Playwrights Theater. Find your treasure at the 36th Annual Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival, produced by Amder Productions in cooperation with the Village of Downers Grove. This celebrated outdoor festival features original works from more than 125 acclaimed artists. Extraordinary artwork of all mediums, including ceramics, fiber, furniture, glass, jewelry, metal, mixed media, paintings, drawing, photography, and wood, are showcased at the festival. With prices ranging from $20 to $2,000, the Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival offers something for everyone. Live music and great food add to the experience of this free outdoor festival. Fun art activities for kids, including an art scavenger hunt, make Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival a destination for art enthusiasts of all ages. Festival goers will also have an opportunity to see the Masters at Work with interactive art demos taking place at the festival all weekend long. And that's Saturday, September 8th from 10 to 5 and Sunday, September 9th from 10 to 5, Downtown Downers Grove, the intersection of Main Street and Burlington Avenue in Downtown Downers Grove. On the line with us right now is the award-winning businesswoman, entrepreneur, teacher, mentor, art gallery owner, one of America's leading promoters of art and artwork in all its forms and genres, one of the brightest stars in the world of art and arts festivals, and a special lady I call the diva extraordinaire of arts festivals, now presenting the 36th Annual Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival, September 8th and 9th from 10 to 5, our good friend, Amy Amder. Amers, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, I'm happy to be with you today, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, and we're winding things down, huh, kiddo?
Oh, we are. We've already put together at least 16 festivals this summer since Memorial Day when we started in Barrington. It's been a busy summer full of art.
Of course, you were in New Buffalo and you went up to Milwaukee last week, I think?
Last week we launched a new show in the Third Ward in Milwaukee. It was amazing.
How was that? A lot of great turnout?
Oh, we had thousands of people. It's such an interesting area. And close by, you know, in less than an hour you can be in Milwaukee.
That's nice. First time they've ever had something like this.
They loved it.
Good.
They absolutely loved it. We had great art. We had spectacular weather. And music and food. And that area is full of galleries. So it's an interesting place to visit if you ever have a chance. I suggest everyone go see the Third Ward in Milwaukee.
And, of course, the weekend before that, you had your special one at the art festival, which is special near and dear to your heart, the Port Clinton Art Festival.
That's right. That was the 29th annual. And that festival just got rated the number 5 festival in the entire country.
Oh, congratulations.
Right.
Great.
There in our backyard.
Great.
And we had
great
art and music, and it was really a fun weekend.
Well, you know, you really bust your tail all these months, of course, doing this. And I know you start next year's series a week after you end the last art festival, of course. But
right.
How did this year fare for, with the economy being the way it was and the hot weather that we had? You had some challenges along those lines. I know I had the opportunity of being up in Arlington Heights, which is always fun, judging that art festival, which was a great turnout. But how were things this year as compared to the other years, Amy?
Well, this was an amazing turnaround year for the artists, I have to say. If you were asking me my thoughts on the economy, I would say that it's never been, it was the best it's been in a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And why I say that is because people were looking at art and they were buying art. They were taking art home. So it seems that people are a little bit more relaxed and they are investing in art. And since art is something that you don't absolutely have to have, it's not like food or water, it's nice to see that people are able to now enjoy the art and bring it home. So things are much better. Artists are doing much better. And I think that the feeling on the streets was really very positive.
And just like happy. Just like in Downers Grove, as in all the art festivals that Amdur Productions puts on, there are so many different types of art. And I mentioned this, of course, in the introduction, whether it's fiber or furniture or ceramics or all mediums, watercolors, acrylics, all different types. So if people have different tastes, that's where you'll find it.
That's right. And that's why we like doing these festivals. They are a really big net. There is something for everybody at our art festivals. So whether you like traditional landscape paintings or contemporary photography, there is really something at every show for everybody and all different prices. And I think that's one of the formulas for success that our shows have had this summer, is that everybody can find something at our festivals. Whether you're just a first-time buyer looking for a gift of art or really ready to make a major acquisition for an outdoor monumental sculpture, there is something for everybody at our shows.
And I think that we talk about this frequently when we're on the show, that some people are intimidated by art. They're intimidated by the purchase of it, whether they feel that's going to fit in their house, how it's going to coordinate with everything. And I think you're the first one to espouse the fact that buy something that appeals to you. It doesn't matter if it matches the sofa. If you like what it is, you'll find a place for it and a place to enjoy it.
That's absolutely right. And one of the things, and I can tell you because this actually happened to me this summer, I was looking for 2 pieces of art for my home. I know you'd think that I have no room in my house, but I rotate my art so that I can keep it fresh. And that there was a piece I really loved by a woman named Sandra Wampler. She's a great photographer. But I wasn't sure if it was going to be the right piece in the room that I wanted it in. And she did what most artists will do, is she actually brought it over to my house so I could see it and kind of try it out in the room with no qualifications or no stipulations that I had to buy it. And, you know, I have to say that the moment she put it in the wall, in the place I wanted it, I was sure it was the right thing, and I was very happy. And a lot of the artists will do this, and the public can ask the artists if they can bring over work. And sometimes not only do you get to see that first piece, but maybe you need something bigger or smaller or a different shape. And the artists, when they come over to your home or your office, can bring in a number of different pieces. And it's a great way to be sure that you're buying the right thing.
And you can commission a piece of artwork, too, if you would like, if you have a rapport or you can have a conversation with an artist.
Absolutely. And I did that this summer, too, with Terry Cannon at the Port Clinton Art Festival. I loved his work, but I needed something that was a slightly different size. And he said, no problem. He said, take a picture of the wall where you want this. Tell me the size you'd like, and I'll make a special piece for you.
That's terrific. What did you see different this year than hasn't been around in years past, Amy?
Well, I saw a trend to a lot more glass, and I thought this was very interesting. Just beautiful, luscious, hot glass, which means that the glass is blown at the end of a long tube and shaped into vessels. And I saw a lot of really spectacular glass, artists who were new to our shows coming in from all different parts of the country, coming in with glass. So I think that was a really new trend this year. And we see different trends over the years. Photography is very strong right now. It's very accessible for people to be able to make photographs. And whereas photography used to always be a darkroom technique where photographers would go into the darkroom to make the photographs, now with digital photography and with the use of computer programs like Photoshop, very accessible for a lot of people to be able to make spectacular photographs. And one of those people you'll see this weekend at the Downers Grove show. His name is Jim Fitzgerald. This man goes into the out country, the outback of Alaska. And his last trip, he said, was 29 days with a big pack on his back and his camera. And he trekked across Alaska into these just beautiful, beautiful areas with nothing but land and trees and sky and lakes. And he will be showing his work. And he is an example of someone who's using some of these newer photography techniques, and instead of darkroom techniques, the ability to finish the photograph there on computer. Really beautiful images of wildlife and nature in its pristine condition. So you see work like that. We're also seeing a move toward a lot of bright color, and I think that's interesting because they say that art reflects what's going on emotionally in a country. And so I think that is also a sign of better times, that we are coming out of a darkness and into a brighter time. So I see brighter colors now in art pretty much across the board.
You know, two things that you mentioned. First of all, photography. I think that when I was at the Arlington Heights, I saw more photographers doing what they do, and not only taking the pictures, but tweaking them in some artistic way that goes beyond a normal photograph, whether it's coloring it a different way or however they did what they did. But it was very unique and very interesting. And what you said also about the colors, everything seemed a little more colorful this year.
Absolutely. So I see that as a better time for us. And then we have people like Shelley Lawler, another photographer who will be at this weekend's show in Downers Grove, where she does these spectacular photographs of her garden. And in the style of Monet, who also, you know, in Giverny in France, had his own garden and painted from there. Shelley cultivates her garden, beautiful flowers and shrubs, and her photographs are all about her garden. And so this is a very upbeat, positive feeling that you see in her photographs. So I see that reflected pretty broadly. We also see a big increase in the amount of functional art. People like Jeff Easley, who uses wood and makes beautiful furniture, it seems to be that people are having an easier time justifying the purchase of art that is functional. So instead of just going to a furniture store, you can buy a piece of art furniture. You end up with a piece of furniture, but you also have met the person who designed it and made it. And that's another interesting kind of direction that I'm seeing in art now, this whole functional aspect of art. As in the furniture that we're seeing.
You know, we talked about that, and I think that it would be interesting to be able to talk to Monet or something in Giverny and say, Why did you paint it? What did you paint it? Well, now you can do that. You come to an Amder Art Festival. You can talk to those artists and say, well, why did you happen to do it that way? And maybe, like you say, commission and say, I'd rather have this painted this way than this way. They might do that, and you have your own unique piece of art made specially for you.
That's right, and it's very nice and very special. And I think the other trend I'm seeing right now in photography, you asked about trends, is a move toward very peaceful images. We have a man named Jason Pavlonis. Again, he's a photographer, and he'll be in Downers Grove this weekend. And one of my very favorite images of his is a photograph that's about 6 feet wide. So, you know, it's a big photograph. And it is of different beach chairs from the back on a beach, and beyond them you see nothing but the water and sky.
Neat.
You know, just very relaxing images. I think that this is a great way for us all to slow down, unwind, and feel better in life. And art really can restore your soul. I believe that. And a lot of people feel that art can be very powerful in healing and keeping us healthy. So there's a real positive aspect to art. More than just decorative.
So come out to the Amder Art Festivals and be healthy. There you go.
Well, this weekend we'll be in Downers Grove. We're going to be on Main Street, which is the main street in Downers Grove, on this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So I do hope people come out because we only have a couple more shows. We have that Downers Grove show this weekend. The following weekend we're in Highwood with what we call the Starving Artist Show, which is an end-of-season show. It's really fun, Kevin. I don't know if you've been to it before. But artists come, and you can get great art at great prices. This is their chance, the artist's chance, to kind of put things at very reasonable prices so that they can clear out their studios and get ready to make new art for next season. So keep that in mind if people are looking for great art bargains. Come out to Highwood next weekend, and that's in Everett's Park in Highwood, and you'll see all kinds of art, paintings, photographs, mixed media, and functional work in Highwood. And then we really wind down until we go to Florida. November 10th and 11th, we're going to be at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale.
Wow,
so we're
cool.
Venturing to Florida.
Cool.
And then we'll come back to Highland Park November 30, December 1 and 2 for a kind of a holiday show, a lot of very giftable art, jewelry and glass and wearables, and that'll be at the Highland Park Country Club in Highland Park, Illinois. And then we just are busy working.
Ready for next year, right? Founded in 19...
What are we doing in the off-season? Well, we are busy planning, and then we'll come back to Barrington on Memorial Day weekend of 2013.
Founded in 1984, Amder Productions is a nationally acclaimed arts festival production company that organizes and directs a selection of the Midwest's most prestigious and successful juried art festivals. Many of Amder's festivals are rated in Sunshine Artist Magazine's Top 100, with several appearing in the Top 50 and Port Clinton in the Top 5. For more information, visit Amder, A-M-D-U-R, Productions. This weekend, Saturday, September 8th and Sunday, September 9th, 10 to 5 at the 36th Annual Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival. On the line with us right now is our good pal, Amy Amder. Amy, I'm going to give a phone number if people would like some information also, 847-926-4300. Always a pleasure, kiddo, and good luck this weekend and for the ones that are coming up after.
Thank you so much, Kevin. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and I hope everyone comes out, and I'll look forward to seeing you the next time.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, son. Amy Amder, of course, Downers Grove, the 36th Annual Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival, this Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5 in downtown Downers Grove. It's always a pleasure to chat with Amy because she has so many things going in all the different art festivals. The premier art festival producer in the Chicagoland area. I was up with her in Arlington Heights. She was in New Buffalo, Michigan. She was at the Gold Coast Art Fair in Grant Park and Highland Park and Botanic Garden Art Festival in Glencoe and Buffalo Grove and Glencoe and Art at the Glen Town Center in Glenview. The Lincolnshire Art Festival, she said, as she mentioned, the Third War Art Festival in Milwaukee, first time she was up there. Port Clinton is her baby, said, rated in the top five art festivals in the United States. And, of course, Downers Grove this weekend and Highwood Last Call Art Fair coming up September 15th and 16th. So always a lot of interesting art to be enjoyed. And, as she said, photography, very high this year. And glass and mixed media, acrylics, watercolors, all different genres. And if you enjoyed it, again, AmderProductions.com for more information. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. Especially like to thank Russ Tuttero, the artistic director of Chicago Dramatist, now presenting the Chicago Dramatist 2012 Saturday series. Certainly a great opportunity to see young playwrights and established playwrights with some of their new plays. For information, 312-633-0630. Sister Rosemary Connolly, it's a very important weekend. The 32nd Annual Misericordia Family Fest this Sunday, September 9th from 11 to 6 at the Misericordia Campus, 6300 North Ridge, just south of Devon. And there's parking in the S&C Electric parking lot, which is right near the Misericordia Campus, so you can take a shuttle bus back and forth. So getting there is not a problem. Parking is not a problem. And certainly having a lot of fun that day family-wise is certainly not a problem at all, and you certainly will. And finally, Amy Amder, coming up this weekend, the 36th Annual Downtown Downers Grove Art Festival, Saturday, September 8th and Sunday, September 9th from 10 to 5, downtown Downers Grove. For information, Amder, A-M-D-U-R, Productions.com. Have a fun weekend. A lot of fun things to do. The weather's going to be a little cooler, of course, but that's okay because not as humid. Be a nice time just to stroll around and enjoy the weekend. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought every day at least to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoken a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week, and as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. In your eyes I may not see forever.
if
we can be the best of lovers, yet be the best of friends. If we can try with every day to make it better as it grows, any luck then I suppose. The music, the music, the music.